I really like that woman that sings lead. Yeah. I've been struggling a little bit about the sermons that I preach, to be honest with you. Sometimes it just I just get to the place where I just don't know if I have prepared the right things. I don't know. You probably never feel like that. Of course, I just don't know. And I sit and struggle with it through the whole service. And it goes through my mind and goes through my mind and goes through my mind and goes through my mind. And you may not know this, but because you've seen me step up and preach, change sermons, but that's a big struggle for you. It's a real step of faith for me. And I'm very comfortable with notes. Actually, I have a whole manuscript so that, like Brother Conley said, if you get off chasing rabbits, you can always find your way back with it. But I sometimes I just sense that there's things that go on in the lives of people that that are so important to them that what I've prepared doesn't meet that. I don't know if that makes sense to you. I look at the society we live in, and I see a lot of things taking place in our day. Two weeks ago, one block from here, two people were murdered. And I think it took place, they believe, possibly even during the time that our folks were coming into the services. Because last week they were stopping people, asking them to think and giving the information and so forth and so on. And then this week, you've probably paid attention to the paper, 16-year-old boy, it appears that a 16-year-old boy murdered his father in our community. And three other teenagers ran with him. Whether they were involved in the murder or not, that's questionable. But they ran with him and got caught in South Carolina. I don't know if you caught the picture of some of these kids as they were bringing them out of the woods. And by the way, one of the greatest thrills in life is to be handcuffed. Yeah, it truly is. To have your hands behind your back and with handcuffs on you and knowing that you really messed up in life. I don't know if you caught the look on at least one of the boys' faces. There seemed to me like he had such a sense of defiance. I'm tough. I'm mean. You guys aren't going to treat me bad. And I look at that and I think, man, gee, what's taking place in lives? You know what? Can you imagine those parents? Can you imagine what's going through the minds and the hearts of those families? And those kids right now, see, most of those kids probably had never been in some kind of facility where they locked you up. Our judicial system is very kind to young people, by the way. But when you reach the place of doing things like this, you get to go to jail, you know. Now, they don't put you in with the adults at 15 and 16 years of age, but you begin to get a sense of what life is like. And by the way, can you imagine 16, 17 years old looking forward to 10, if you get tried as an adult, 10 or 20 or 30 years in prison? Now, just think with me a minute. You're 15 years old, and if you serve your full term, you'll be 45 years old when you get out of prison. 45. Now, all of you that lived your life from 15 to 45, and all the things that happened, and what did you do? You finished high school, maybe you went to college, you got a job, you bought your first car, you got married, you had kids, you bought a home. Now, these kids have the potential of spending all of that time in prison. They won't get married. They won't have kids. They won't buy their first home. They won't buy their first car. They won't do all that. They won't go on the vacations. They won't. And I look at that and I think, man, what a mess. What a mess. How can you have any hope in that? And then I think of the people that go through that or other kinds of issues in their life. Husbands and wives that are fighting with each other right now. Right now. And if you rode together to come to church, there's a possibility you had a good fight on the way. And right now, you're saying, oh, I want to worship. And all you can think about is, you know what she said to me? God, you know what she said? And she's saying, God, you know what he did? And all the other things. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, the 13th verse. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hope unto the end for the grace. You and I live in a world that is filled up with all these kinds of things. Some of you, you struggle financially. Some of you are, you know, you're trying to make ends meet. Some of you are lonely. You realize, I don't know if you realize how many lonely people we probably have sitting here in this congregation. Did you realize you can be lonely in this crowd? You know that, don't you? You can be lonely around people. You can be lonely because your heart aches for something that's different than what you have. People need to hope. People need to hope for the lost. Oh my. When I read the accounts I read and when I see the things I see in life, and I think about the things I think, well, I hope for the lost. You see, every day when you and I drive down the street and we maybe we've said our prayers that morning, maybe we're praying as we're driving, maybe we've read the Bible, maybe we've listened to a gospel song or all those things that kind of connects our minds to the things of God. But all around us, as you drive down the street, there are men and women that are dying and going to go to hell. There are young people that are going to live their life without Christ and pay no attention to Jesus the whole time of their life. There are people that possibly have never heard the gospel in the reality of what the gospel is about. People that are good church folks that go to a church that where they tell them, if you become a member and if you be nice and you go through a catechism class, everything will be fine. And folks, that's not true. There is only one way for you to have salvation, and that is through Jesus. This does not come from a ritual or a book somewhere. But it comes from a man, a person, God, who died for us. He gave his blood for us. And so we have all these different kinds of people, and we drive by them every day, and you run into them, and they talk about church, and then one word and the next word, they're cussing, and carrying on in ways that I never thought was Christian. I'm glad I'm not the eternal judge. But it seems to me that there's some biblical principles that are lost in their lives. And then there's people that are good old American heathens. They're paganistic in their viewpoints, paganistic in their lifestyle, paganistic in what they do, how they live, everything about them. And most of them don't even know it. See, they don't realize that they're worshiping another God when they worship their children or their parents or their house or their bank account or their toys or whatever it might be in life. They think they're just being normal, and they really are normal for lost folk. You and I drive by them every day. You go into the Speedway or BP or whichever gas station you go to. Is there a Speedway around here? Nah, figures it's in Illinois. And you go to the gas station, you say hello to the person behind the counter, and they smile at you. And a lot of them today look different than when I was growing up. You know, they dress different. They look different. They cut their hair different. They're just different, you know. They're not like me. God forbid, huh? Yeah, that they'd be like me. But you walk in, you talk to them, you get your drink, you pay for your gas, you get a candy bar, hot dog, whatever it is. You say hello. Good, how you doing today? Great day out, isn't it? Oh yeah, it's a marvelous day. Have a good day. Okay. And they are lost as lost can be. Some of you have kids. Some of you have little kids. Some of you have big ones. Some of you are praying for your big kids that they come to Jesus. You should be praying for your little kids too, by the way. But you see your son or your daughter. Talk to them on the phone. I was driving down the road, and on Saturday afternoons, oftentimes I call my kids up, and I called James up, no answer. It's a good thing they have cell phones. Called up Bob, no answer. James won't even set his answer machine up on, or the answering service up on his phone. He don't even set it up. He says if it's important, they'll call me back. Bob has his set up. I say, hey, Bob. I said, this is Dad. I just want you to know I was thinking about you and love you. Couldn't talk to him. Debbie, same thing. No answer. I got the answer machine. And now Debbie, every time I talk to Debbie and I have to go through the answer machine, I'll say something along the line. Boy, I'm so glad that you have a cell phone that you answer all the time. It's so wonderful to get to talk to my favorite Kenny family. That's her last name, Kenny. Favorite Kenny family, my favorite Debbie and Kenny and my favorite Tom Kenny and Cameron Kenny and Landon Kenny. I just so wanted to talk to you. I said, I'm glad you have a phone. Of course, she catches the sarcasm in it every time. You know. And as I talk to those kids, I know that two of them love the Lord, and one of them does not. You may have children just like that. And you look at them, and you say to yourself sometimes, is there any hope? I mean, how old do you have to be to grow up enough to figure out about Jesus, huh? 15? 25, 40, you have to wait till you're 60. What is it? What's the age? Is there any hope for them? Yes, there is. There's hope because of the grace of Jesus. There's hope that one day that 47-year-old son will be driving down the road and he'll go, oh, I need something more than me. And he'll think, Mom and Dad told me about Jesus. Mom and Dad, pray for me. I need a Savior. And whether he pulls his car over or he does not, I don't care. He can talk to God with his eyes open. I don't think God cares whether your eyes are open or shut. And my friend, Jesus can save him. And that's true for every lost person that you see every day of your life. That's true for your sons and your daughters and your husbands and your wives. It's true for your parents. It's true for your neighbors, your uncles, your aunts, all the people around. You say you don't know how bitter they are. You don't know how terrible they are. But there is hope because of the grace of Christ. There is hope because the grace can speak to people. There's hope for the man or woman in prison. Some of you, do you remember Chaplain Ray, any of you? Out of Texas, I believe it was. And he served the prisons. And Chaplain Ray would have all these books that he'd write about. One of the guys that was, I think he was with Bonnie and Clyde. He had been a gangster with them. And he got saved while in prison. And I remember reading one book about a guy named Jerry Graham. Jerry Graham was a rotten no good. All of his life as a kid, he'd done all the terrible things you could do. He'd been caught by the police. He'd been put in prison. And in prison, he got in trouble. And they stuck him into solitary confinement. And in solitary confinement, he saw the flies. And the flies wouldn't... And that's the name of the book that he wrote, Where Flies Won't Land. And the flies seemed like they wouldn't land on him or near him. And suddenly in his mind he saw and understood that this was what he was like and that unless something changed he had no hope. And in solitary confinement he asked Christ to forgive him. And Christ did. Doesn't matter who or where you are. I believe there's also hope for our needs. See, when he talks to us, he says, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You have needs here today. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced there's men and women that sit in these pews right now, that need God to do something for them. People that are sitting here and they don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn. They don't know where their answers are. They feel hopeless. They have not been able to figure out how to handle it. They have not figured out what to do with their situation. It may be your child. It may be your husband. It may be whatever. I don't know what it might be, but my friend, let me say this to you. There is hope in the grace of Jesus. There is hope. Whatever it is, there's nothing too great for God to handle. As we sang that, I believe it was the last song, congregational song, and as I began to look at those words and hear those words and hear about the resurrection of Christ, how he conquered the grave, how he defeated the devil, and when you and I begin to understand who Jesus is, when we can grasp that reality, you see, he is not just some guy that came down the road one day. He is not just some religious teacher that learned a few things. He was not just a charismatic personality that could gather a crowd. No, he is God who came to earth with you and me in mind. And my friend, on Calvary itself, when all looked hopeless and the darkness of the day overwhelmed the light and Jesus' blood was pouring out and he gasped that last gasp of breath and said, it is finished. My friend, note this. Hope resided in him. And 3 days later, the stone that held him was pushed aside by the angels of God. And the grave that had captured him, so to speak, released him. And the devil that had won the battle was crushed and fell to his knees because he rose from the dead. And because of him, hope is yours. My friend, he said, say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and it shall be done. He said to the leopard, be thou clean. He said to the cripple, rise and walk. He said to Lazarus, come forth from the grave, and he came forth. And he is still the same today. And in your need, he can and will do miracles. Say, Pastor Rudd, I don't know. I don't know. You see, I've been through this so many times. I've tried to overcome. I've tried to face it. I've failed so many times. I've tried to serve Jesus and it hasn't worked for me. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. I don't know what to do. Hope. For the grace of Christ unto the end, he will help. He also has hope for eternity revealed to us here. My, we as Christians, we read the Bible, and some of you that may not be believers here this morning, you hear about heaven and you see heaven as being this nice pie in the sky thing, you know. You know, you get to live here and you step into eternity and you get to go to heaven, you know. And it's kind of like the old story about the guy that died and went to heaven. And they had all kinds of food, you know, pastries and cakes and all ice cream and all that. And he looked at that and he said, well, isn't that fattening? And they said, no, there's no calories in it. And they said, he looked at his wife, said, you've given me all this healthy food and I could have been here. I could have been here. See, we think of heaven kind of in that way. We think about the jokes where they talk about, you know, they knew they were Church of God women because they were bringing a covered dish, you know, into heaven and all of those kinds of things. And my brothers and my sisters, I pray that you grasp this reality that heaven is heaven because of God. He is there. And you get to taste heaven here because God will live in you. And wherever God is, you get a little bit of heaven. And so one day when this world is over, we hope unto the end about the grace of Jesus all the way to the end. All the way to the end. That one day there is a place. There is a place that we will step into where God will be God always and forever. And we will worship Him. We will see Him as He is. We will be able to worship Him unhindered by anything. And my brothers and my sisters, if the music's too loud, it will automatically turn down to your decibel level. And if you need more, it will go up. It will be heaven. You will like the songs. Oh yeah. You won't complain about it. You won't be going to whoever will be the eternal choir director or music leader and saying, you know, I just didn't care for that song today. Won't happen like that. Because you'll love everything. It'll be great. It'll be marvelous. You'll want to hear more of it. you get to heaven, we read about all the wondrous things, the hope that we have. Those of you that ache, I take short cartilage for my knees, for arthritis in my knees. I don't know if it helps. I think it does some days. But yesterday I was trying to get down on my knees, and let me tell you, it's no fun. It's just no fun. My knees hurt. I was shooting at guns, and we were shooting stages where you had to run and drop down to your knees and shoot through low windows and high windows, and you guys ought to try it. It's fun, and all that kind of stuff. And every time I'd go down, it took me longer than these young kids. I don't like young people. They ought to have everything hurt like I do. And I'd be trying to get down. I'd be going like this. And they'd be running up, sliding in, boom, 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 you know. And I look at that stuff and I think, man, it used not to be like that. One day it won't be like that again. Heaven. No bad knees. You won't have to have any hip replacements in heaven. Mm-mm. Oh, you won't struggle with cancer in heaven. No heart attacks in heaven. No strokes. None. I hope for that. Hope for it unto the end. When I draw my last breath, I'll be hoping for heaven. And after I've closed my eyes here for the last time and opened them in heaven, I will not hope anymore, because I will have seen the reality of all my hope come true. But here I will hope unto the end. When I lay in my bed, I don't know if I'll have a chance to talk to my kids or not. I don't know if I'll be able to say anything else to my wife or not. I don't know what that last moment will be like. I don't know if it will be a car accident. I don't know if it will be a heart attack. I don't know what will cause my death, but I know I will die. But because of the hope I have in the grace of Christ, and because Christ conquered the grave, I know that I can conquer death through Him. And I will not die. You may be here and around, and you may be with them when they take my body to the funeral home. And if Ruth doesn't have me cremated and put me in an hourglass to make me work all the time, You may get to go out to watch them lower that casket into the grave. You may be in the room when they close it for the last time. You may say, boy, he looks good. I don't know, didn't I look good when I was alive? Yeah. He looks good. But friend, let me tell you, you aren't looking at me. It won't be me in the casket. It will be the body that God has allowed to house my soul. And when time ceases and they lower me for me and they lower me into the ground, or the body into the ground, me will be in heaven. That is the hope I have. And that is the hope for every believer. Now let me tell you the sadness of that though. You as an unbeliever do not have that hope. Mm-mm. No. When people go to your grave, or to your funeral rather, And they stand over your casket, and you probably will have some preacher there. And they'll roll you into the room, the body in the room, and the preacher will stand at the podium, and he might be a nice guy and say nice things about you. But if that's what you want, don't ask me to do it. I'm not going to lie about you going to heaven. I wouldn't be able to say that with an honest heart. You see, if you have not lived for Christ, I can't say, oh, he was a wonderful brother. Sometimes you go to funerals, you wonder who died, the way they talk. If you're lost, friend, people will stand over your casket and the preacher will stand behind the pulpit. And he may not say this, and they may not say this, but in their minds, they are saying, I wonder if they ever got time to call on Jesus to forgive them. And if they did not, their eternity is one without God. No hope. Well, I read this scripture verse. For gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that's brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I pray you have hope. Hope for the lost. Hope for your needs. And hope for eternity. If you do not, why in the world do you not turn to the Savior? What's your pitiful excuse for not being a follower of Christ? Somebody in that church treated me bad when I was 12 years old. Live life, friend. Somebody's going to treat you bad every year of your life, so get over it. Yeah. They treat you bad on your job. You don't quit your job. Your wife treats you bad. Your husband treats you bad. Your kids treat you bad. Everybody treats you bad. The doctor treats you bad. The nurse treats you bad. And you don't, if you're sick in the hospital, you don't get up and leave, do you? Come on. What kind of excuse is that? Well, I just don't believe in God. Well, bless your heart. You'll find out, won't you? How dumb. Really, you stop and think about it. If you're wrong, you're wrong for eternity, buddy. You look in the world around you and say, there's no God? Huh. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, somewhere off in eternity, 885 billion years ago, a little bitty molecule that came into being all by its little self ran across another little molecule that came into being all by itself, and they bumped and boom, here we are. You believe that? You actually believe that? All the excuses, and not one of them will be good. Why not turn to the Savior and have hope? Father, in the name of Jesus, you see every man, every woman here today. In the name of Jesus, you understand every need. Father, help us hope for the lost. Help us to yearn for them. Ache for them, desire their turning to you. Help us to see it as more than just somebody that we don't know dying and we don't have to think about them anymore. But oh God, may our vision be filled up with the vision of hell. And may we see what happens to those who are not yours. Father, may we have hope for our needs, the problems we have in life, the issues that arrive, all the things that happen where we look at our life and say, nothing good is going to happen in my life ever again. It's horrible. Oh God, may there be real hope. And Father, may we all have hope for eternity. And hope that says that when we leave this world, we will be yours. And we will have the joy and the wonders of eternity with you. May we have that hope resting in our hearts. And may it guide us and direct us and shape our lives and our minds and our desires and everything else about us. Oh, Father, Father, may we have hope for eternity. Peter said those words that we might have hope for the grace unto the end. Unto the end. Oh God, may we keep that hope. And if someone does not have that hope here today, whichever it is, they've given up on their children that are lost, they've given up on their neighbor, their father, their uncle, whoever it might be. Maybe they've given up on their needs, thinking there can be no answers. And God, some of them have actually given up hope on eternity. Oh God, here in this room this morning, may hope be poured into lives because of the grace of Jesus. May hope be ours. May it spring up within us. May it shape us and move us and help us. Oh Father, may your hope be ours. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?